On this week's Northern from Adam podcast, we are joined by a friend, a colleague, a competitor, Fox NFL insider, Jay Glazer. The good news, Jay, is that you are free to curse all you want. And the other good news is that you are a part of the ESPN family today. And I want to know how that makes you feel.
Oh, man. It makes me feel like I'm going to go and poke my own eyes out. Right? It's like I'm stuck in like this thing where like I love myself, but I hate myself. And, you know, have we started already?
We are rolling right now, my friend.
You're up. What is that, Schefter? You just sandbagged me right off the bat.
Well, you know how these things
work.
I'm
allowed to curse. First of all, let me just tell you.
Yeah.
This is the worst podcast I've ever been on in my entire life.
I would expect you to say nothing different.
It's just terrible, man. It's kind of surreal, right? It's like me and you doing this. Everybody, the entire world thinks we hate each other, and I'm here for the record to tell everybody they are 100% right. We hate each other.
Right, so we figured we hate each other, so we figured we might as well go do a podcast together.
This is actually done in a cage. You guys don't know. How many times, isn't it crazy though, how many times have you been out and somebody said, like, it's almost like people are rooting for which one of us has the scoops, and a lot of that is my fault because I made it that way years ago. But it's like, you know, oh, Schefter has this, or Glazer has this, or, you know, the Twitter hate we get when you and I put something out is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, we just cover sports. We don't really count. It's like, we don't mean anything. Are you kidding me? But it's been, I think me, you, and Mort have needed each other over the years. I told you that, right?
Oh,
I call you, what people don't know, before every season, I call Schefter, I call Mort. And I'm like, hey, man, let's have a good year. We need each other. Let's not do shady stuff like some of the other cats. Let's not steal our stuff from each other. And there's enough scoop to go around. Let's do it together.
I've had that conversation with you. I've never gotten worked up over anything. To me, in this industry, there's enough work for everybody. Everybody should just go do their job. You know, some of the lack of professional courtesy sometimes surprises me. But that's it. It is what it is.
Hold on. Who are you talking about, Schefter? Who are you talking about?
I'm just saying it's just out there.
Let's name names. Have some cojones. Name names.
I know you're the guy with the cojones, not me, Jay.
Well, here's the thing, too. Like, you guys think that I hate ESPN because I used to bust your chops all the time for stealing scoops. And, you know, obviously I've had some quotes out there. But the real thing is, dude, I don't care. I just thought it was a good brand. It's like David versus Goliath. Like, you guys are supposed to thwomp on me. I'm just one man with like 17 personalities, but I'm just one man. And, you know, every time, you know, something would happen and I would put it out there and say something about you guys, I'm just like, man, it's David versus Goliath. It's a good man. It's a good brand. I don't really care. I'm a single dad. I'm trying to help out other people. So I could care less. That stuff doesn't bother me, but I would get it worked up where I would try and get fans worked up, and be honest with you, I would try and get players and coaches worked up to pit them against you guys also to try and walk the walk with, other, you know, try and get more people in my little Glaze Mafia, if you will. But the truth is, you tell everybody there at ESPN, dude, I never really cared. I really didn't. I just thought it was like a fun brand. And there was one time specifically I remember calling you and to get after you over something only because I was breaking Randy Moss getting traded to the Vikings.
Okay.
And I know you have been tipped off too, and I called you earlier in the day strategically to bitch at you about stealing something else, which you didn't do, but I made it like you did. I think it was Marshawn Lynch maybe getting traded that day to Seattle, something.
Yep.
Just so if I got Randy Moss out before you, you would lay off completely and I can kind of have my glory. And, you know, a little tactic.
I know, I feel like I've always tried to give credit where credit is due, always. I think you could vouch for that.
No, nope. Dude, as a person, seriously, folks, there's honestly not a better person you're going to come across in this business than Adam Schefter.
Oh, that's very good. Really now you're getting soft on me here, and I appreciate that.
True, but I also know, look, I know what your history, obviously, and your lovely bride, and you know, we're both, you know, affected by that. And, you know, and again, my son also, I met him when he was two, so we have a lot more in common than people really know. But when it comes down to it, you know, as a person, Shefty, you're about as solid as a human being as
well,
you get, brother.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate all the work you've done, and we're going to touch on all that as well, Jay. We're going to talk about you training some of the players, the Saints. We're going to talk about your Veterans Day work and the work you've done there with MVP veterans. We'll go into all that. But I want to ask you first, what do you find to be the toughest part about being an NFL insider?
Well, the toughest part, look, the business changed, right? So
tremendously.
It used to be the scoops. It used to be, look, the bottom line is the first guy that ever did this, okay, wasn't me, wasn't you, wasn't Moore, wasn't Peter. It was Will McDonough.
100%. Now, Will is...
He's the guy.
He's the pioneer here, right?
And he's also the guy that I looked at and said, I want to be like him because I'm in an NFL owners meeting early in my career, and I see him going to play golf with like three owners, execs, all this, and I'm like, man. And you got to remember, too, when I first started in this business, my first year was 1993. It's crazy. A lot of people don't realize this. But so no one talked to me. I was very Jersey-ish,
yep.
You know, not like I've changed much. But the only difference now between then and now is I say three instead of tree.
Okay.
I don't say, like, we got these three guys. Now I say we have these three guys, right?
Yep.
So my very first friend I ever had in this business, it wasn't the media, because these guys looked at me like, oh, you're not supposed to be friends with the players. You're not supposed to be friends with the coaches.
Yeah.
And you know how much criticism I've taken over the years, and I've had to defend my name. And over the years, I'm like, hey, man, look at my body of work. I don't get anything wrong, and I break more than anybody else that, you know, of these big stories. So I'm getting criticized from being close to these guys. Like, I hold back,
mm-hmm.
and the people are criticizing me. How many scoops have you had, and how many scoops have I had?
Right.
But the very first friend I ever had was this goofy, really not good-looking, very unathletic, very loserish defensive end from the Giants.
Michael Strahan.
With bad teeth. I wasn't going to say him, but now you're on it, yeah. No, but seriously, that's in 1993. Like,
yeah.
No one talked to him because he got drafted to replace Lawrence Taylor. No one talked to me. And he and I latched on each other. And I literally walked in that Giant locker room like, why? I didn't go to Michigan like you. I went to Pace College,
yeah.
Downtown Manhattan. I was like boxing and doing stand-up comedy and bouncing in places I shouldn't. Just trying to make ends meet. And I'm like, how can I be different? And I'm like, I'm gonna go for the relationship and not the scoop. And I'm going to build relationships,
yep.
over time. And so what happened was, though, Shefty, is that's getting the relationships with the Strahans and everybody in that locker room, that Giant locker room, kind of word spread, you know, with my name, where this is a guy you could trust. And here I am going, well, that's my brand. That's what I wanted.
Yep.
But I'm getting killed by everybody else in the media for it. But you have to be willing to just, oh, well, take criticism and get killed. And look, for anybody out there in business or anything, you got to live and die with your brand.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work, but do it your way. And so I think the hardest thing was dealing with a lot of that criticism and people questioning my character and integrity with, well, what's he holding back?
Yeah.
Instead of realizing what I've had. And then with us, the early days doing it, it used to be, okay, one of us got a scoop. There's only like three or four of us doing it, right? And
yeah.
You had a scoop and you got a lot of credit and you're riding high. And nowadays, it doesn't matter what you put out there, within 3 seconds, it's stolen by everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and, you know, you and I are judged on scoops. And our bosses, like, they shouldn't judge us on scoops anymore because it's just going to be taken by somebody else. They should judge us by, hey, if Adam Schefter says something, take it to the bank.
Right.
And there's something he knows that nobody else knows. If some Jay Glazer says something, take it to the bank.
Yeah, I know. I know if you report something, I know that I don't even need to check on it. It's true. And I mean that.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, you and I have talked in the past about, and I know you and I both, people don't know this, Schefter and I have both talked to some of these new wave of insiders to try to tell them, look, don't steal stuff. All right, number one, because it's disrespectful to your guy you're competing with. But number two, just don't get anything wrong. Don't be so fast to jump out and have this scoop where you're going to be wrong. I know you've talked to some of these guys. I know I've talked to some of them. And some of them, they don't listen because they have the pressure. I would rather, Adam, I'd rather be right in 100% of what I have, yep. and I never beat you in a scoop ever, than I'm right 90% of the time, and I beat you in a million scoops.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll say this. The business, to pay homage to the people before us, Will McDonough, as you mentioned, was a guy that I idolized and also got to know, invited me along with him to take rides at the owners' meetings, which I still remember picking his brain. And
amazing.
He was an unbelievable man, got me into the Boston Marathon. And then I think Mort and Peter King and John yeah. Clayton and Len Pasquarelli. Those are, to me, the yeah. the forerunners in this business that made it possible to do what we yeah. do today. And I'm proud to say, again, I was friendly with Will. I had a relationship with him. He was a great man. Peter, I consider a great friend. Mort, I love like a brother. And I have great respect for John and Len, all the people, and you too, Jay. So all the people that have done this, that have made this all possible, I have great admiration and respect for all of them, and I'm proud to say that I've had the chance to get to know them and learn from them.
And the, like the first ones who did, again, Lenny was the first guy. Pasquarelli was the first one to really do it online, and he was at CBSSportsLine.com, and I was doing it for the Pro Sports Exchange. Like it took, so people don't know, again, it took me 10 years to get my first real paid gig. When I was working in the New York Post, they were giving me $9,000 a year. That's all I got.
Yeah.
I'm like, $9,000? Are you kidding me? The editor, Greg Gallo, was like, "Yeah, you're a snot-nosed kid who has no experience." He was like the editor from Spider-Man. He was like, "I like your moxie, but where else are you going, kid?" I'm like, "Moxie? Who talks like that?"
You want to laugh? When I got hired out in Denver in 1990 and I started covering sports, I remember being driven to the airport by Barry Forbes, and I'd spent 2 years looking for a job. He was the sports editor of the Rocky Mountain News. And I said, "Did I get the job?" And he's like, "You got it." And I was so over the moon excited. I couldn't believe we're talking about what I'm going to do. And we literally pulled up to the baggage claim at the old Stapleton Airport in Denver. And I said to him, oh, by the way, what am I going to be making? And he goes, $22,000 a year. And I go, $22,000 a year? And he looked at me, and I said, and he goes, "Is that okay?" And I said, "I'm rich." And he said, "You got a lot to learn."
Absolutely. Right. And that's, look, it's because the insider business becoming what it is, where people are almost looking at us like sports teams. And again, some of that's my fault. We'll get back into that a little bit, but, it's helped. You know, everybody needed an insider. Then other sports. Again, the first guy who did it minute by minute was Lenny. Yep. And then for CBSSportsLine.com, and then he moved over to ESPN. I was at CBS at the time. Just got hired for $50,000. I'm like, "Oh, thank you, my best friend, God Almighty in heaven." Yes. Amazing. Because I lived in places, dude. Like the place I lived, first of all, there's a place I lived in Brooklyn. I thought I was tough. I wasn't that tough. I had no business living there.
Yeah.
And then I had an apartment in New York City where the refrigerator blocked the bathroom door, and you could never shut the bathroom door, and you had to pull a string on a light bulb to keep it on, to keep the light on the whole time. It was freaking awful. And literally, I was so broke, I would make Strahan drive me into the city, and he lived in Jersey.
Yep.
I couldn't afford Lincoln Tunnel fare, bus fare, several, I had to take two subways to a bus out to Giant Stadium and then back out, and I couldn't afford it both ways.
Yeah.
Again, I was making $9,500 a year, so I made Strahan every day drive me back into the city. Dead serious. For 6 years of our career until I got signed by CBS. So I owe him like $28,000 in Lincoln Tunnel fare.
And he's probably coming after you first. So do you ever stop now and think about your life and the way it is today, from where you've been to, and just reflect on that at all?
I just did. I mean, I literally wake up every day. I'm still waiting to wake up in fifth grade, and none of this happened.
Yeah.
And like, my mom wakes me up, I'm like, "Oh, no." The only good thing about that is I never would have been friends with Strahan, which would have helped my life out. So,
yeah. But, well, you would have been better off, huh?
But I'm seriously, people don't know this, I'm actually a big God guy, very spiritual guy. And I literally wake up every single morning And the very first thing I say every morning, just because I want to live a life of gratitude, of say, thank you, God. I love you, God. That's it. I'm like a new wave reformed Jew guy, but it's like every morning of my life, I wake up and every night, thank you. I'm grateful for this life. The other part, like, dude, I was in remedial English for my entire life, including college. And I end up being a writer, you know, and like, for, that's why it's like, it's so crazy. There's always moments where I'll call Stray or somebody go, I got to tell you what happened today. Yeah. This just can't be, right? And the money that you and I get to make now, because the insider job went where it is, and because all of a sudden we're doing TV, it gets to such a higher level. And even like, you know, there are people who complain about the access some of us get. But if we didn't do this, me versus Lenny, then me versus Lenny and Mort, then me versus Lenny and Mort and you, then you going over there. If we didn't do this, all these other dot-coms and TV stations would have been hiring other reporters to do this as well.
Yep.
And so, you know, I am proud. I'm proud that we paved the way for a lot of people to take care of, to change their kids' lives and their grandkids' lives. However you want to look at it, I don't know if this sounds like I'm being, you know, arrogant or boastful about it, but these jobs didn't exist before we made it this competition. All of a sudden, it opened up. Before that, Shefty, I got, when I was in the Giant locker room, because I wasn't making any money, I was trying to write, I was trying to do TV, trying to do radio, and I was told back then by some of the reporters, the old school guys, no, you don't do that. You either write or you do radio or you don't do all three. I'm like, man, who are you to tell me I want to put food on my table?
But when we were doing that, if you remember, when we were doing that, like, and I started this, like I said, back then as well, I was doing TV and radio on the side just for the fun of it. I had no idea that I wanted to do this. I didn't think like that. I just thought, hey, I was doing some TV appearances on the side for Channel 4 in Denver out in the early 1990s because they were giving me a $100 gift certificate to the men's shop in town, and I thought it was great that I could go buy a shirt. Yeah. I could afford to go buy a shirt. Literally, that's why I was doing it, and they were training me without me knowing it. And think about it. Like, you used to work for the Denver Post. So really, in a way, we have parallel backgrounds. Like, I spent 15-plus years covering the Denver Broncos for the Rocky Mountain News and Denver Post. You were working for the New York Post. You went to CBS. I went to the NFL Network. You went to Fox. I went to ESPN. You're from Manalapan, New Jersey. I'm from Belmore, Long Island, right? I mean, they're similar stories. Hey, we started in the Longest Yard together in 2005 as well. I'm still getting those checks, Jay. You're not getting them. I still get those royalty checks.
Wait, so you're stealing my 4 cent checks?
I still get them. I get a check every few months for like $7.36, yes. and I say, I wonder what Adam Sandler's check is for.
And, well, look at it. Now you go back to what we're talking about. You've since become an international sex symbol. We know that, okay? So I want to know from you, give me the moment of your life since all this stuff has happened. Because I'm taking your podcast over. Screw you.
No. I was going to turn this into a home and home where I get to talk to you, and then you get to interview me on my own podcast another time.
Give me the moment of your life here that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe how life is like, this has really just happened.
Honestly, the whole journey has been like that because
no. Don't talk to me in coach speak.
I'm being honest with you.
All of a sudden you're Tom Coughlin? Come on.
You know what?
Give me a moment though. Like, I can't believe that, like, or somebody that you met or somebody that gave you a compliment. You're like, did this really just happen?
I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to go like you. I feel incredibly blessed all the time. And it's hard. It's not easy. Don't get me wrong. But there are so many things that remind me on a daily basis of how fortunate we are to do what we do. And I mean, I can give you an example almost every single day of my life.
Aren't this got to be surreal? Aren't you like Chris Paul's fantasy football partner expert?
No. Listen, we're fantasy football friends. He once had me go to him with a draft.
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, well, who do you get to advise in their fantasy football drafts?
Oh, I get st- stuck with friggin' David Spade.
Yeah, well, there you go. See that? David Spade.
Schefter.
Yeah, but...
Advantage Schefter.
But you get the rock on Ballers, right? You and the Rocker Boys.
Is he on that?
I think I've seen him a time or two. I know you're on it, but I could have sworn I saw him on there.
You want to be... you know how much I love Strahan, right?
Yep.
Obviously, but by me mentioning him 8 billion times here. And by the way, another nugget on Strahan real quick. I'm the godfather of, he has twins.
Yep.
I'm the godfather of one of them.
Okay.
Who does that? Yeah. Like, what happened? What if something happens to him? I'm like, you know what? I'm only taking care of the one. The other one, she's on her own. I mean, who does that? Who thinks like that? But The Rock is the most genuine. If you're around him, you're like, oh my God, I want to be like him. There is nothing fake about it. The dude started with $7 in his pocket, and that's why he worked so hard. And, you know, I think, sure, that's why you work so hard, I work so hard. You started $22,000. I started with $9,500. He outworks the world. When you're around, he treats everybody so incredibly great.
Yeah.
He, like, every time I go down to do Ballers, I can't wait. Because, look, I know there's politics in Hollywood, but, man, he runs that set like there's none. It is amazing. Him and Steve Levinson put on the funnest time. And last year they call me and they go, hey, we want you in our finale, but we're not sure. Are you okay doing a strip club scene? And I'm like, so you don't want me to act? I don't get it. And we need you to get in a fight. I'm like, again, so I'm
talking
not
talking your language. Like, talking your language.
It's like, excuse me, dude, I love that. I love doing it. I love doing the show. I'm not a freaking actor. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Although I did feel that I overshadowed you in The Longest Yard.
Yeah. Well, you got a nomination for an Oscar. I did not. What can I say about that?
I was up for Best Supporting Nod. Yeah. I was up,
but... Oh, yeah, we still remember the line, right? I think he broke his freaking neck, right? That was the line.
Yeah. But it was supposed to be something else.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's supposed to be a dirty line, yeah. Because in the original one, it was. Yeah, and then... I did. I had they had me go or something like that. And then I think I was sitting next to Peter King in it, but that was hilarious. That's our first little foray into acting. But
yeah.
I love the Baller stuff. And, you know, the funny part is when it first came out and people were making this whole hubbub about, oh my gosh, the Ballers puts the league in a bad light. I'm like, dude, if you took some of the stuff that went right on the league, really? And I went to with the Ballers people, they would laugh me out of the room for being too outlandish.
Yeah, let's have a coach. Like, let's have a coach snort powdery substance off his desk and make sure that it's. Well, no, we can't do that because it would never happen. Well, it did.
It did. Never happen, right. And by the way, that does, because I'm here to serve the people, yeah. Adam. So I'm going to give my guidebook to all the dudes out there.
Yeah.
Okay? Two things. Don't send any pictures or videos of yourself whatsoever with no clothes on to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't care how proud you are of yourself. And don't send any videos of you doing anything with criminal activity. That's it. That's the entire guidebook. Nothing else.
I mean, every time.
Nothing with clothes off. And no crimes.
Every time you think you've seen it all, there's something that tops it. That's one of the things that is so fun about covering this league is that it just changes on a daily basis. You talked about building the relationships with Strahan, and you have done a great job of that with players. How have you been able to do that through the years? And obviously you haven't seen anything that would lead you to think that you should have done anything differently, correct?
Oh, no, I do. I think I did the right way because look at it now. Everybody else, it's all about guys trying to get friends with somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I did it, that was not the – Adam, you go back and look at all the times I've been ripped for my relationships. But now everybody tries to be friends. You were at the Senior Bowl and the owners meeting and the
– I've actually never been to the Senior – I've never been to the Senior Bowl. Never been.
Really?
Never. I've never gone.
Oh, well, I got one scoop wrong. There you go.
I leave that for you.
All that stuff.
I leave that for you.
And all the combine, all that stuff. And everybody tries to be friends with other people now, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't the case. And you know, what I would do back in the day, again, I always try and say, whatever I do in life, I'm like, how could I be different? And I think that's that definitely separates you because most people just want to be part of the pack, right? It's scary. Being different is scary. No doubt about it. And I have no problem being turned down. I got no problem being rejected on stuff. I could care. I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna be relentless, and I will be the last dude standing. Like, whoever said quitting's not an option is a moron. It's the easiest option in the world. It's always there every day on your shoulder. And, you know, I think that to be able to say I'm going to do it differently than everybody else, you know, it took a little bit longer. It took a lot of criticism. But now everybody does that. And the other thing I looked at, I'm like, look, I'm going to, you know, when there was like a pack mentality in a lot of these locker rooms, as you know, with reporters. And that's okay. And that's why, folks, when you read a lot of papers, you'll see a lot of, you know, if you're reading a certain city, a lot of the newspapers or publications will have a story on the same guy because they all crowd around the same guy. So I'd say, okay, I'd be in the giant locker room. I'm like, all right, you're going to have, you know, 50 dudes talking to this person. I'm going to go strike up relationships with the other 52. And I would just be off my own. I'm like, I'll read what they wrote tomorrow, but I'll have something different than everybody else.
Yep. It's funny. You know, and it's worked.
Yeah, but the same with you. Like, you and I think you and I, we went after different people. I went after players, and I went after, like I bonded with players. I bonded with a lot of these assistant coaches who are now head coaches.
Yep.
I'm still friends with the same people 25 years later. And I think we're more of a front office, agents, coaches, you know, but over time it's all blended together because dude, you're a star now. People look at you like, oh my gosh, it's Adam Schefter. You know,
Jay Glazer. Well, listen, you know, here's the thing. It's not anything that, well, I mean, we both have worked hard, but if you do something I've now been doing this for 27 years, you've been doing it for 24 years, right? I would think anybody who works in an industry that long, over time, you get the fortune of getting to know and meet a lot of people. So as you said, you just, you know, I've seen a lot of these people go from being single like us to being married like us to being divorced like us to having kids like us, just to the various stages of their life. So we just all kind of grown up together, right? There are a lot
That's
of people
exactly
there.
Right.
It's been a long period of time.
People ask me this year, I'm going around. I still do the same stuff. I still go to training camp and Senior Bowl. Yep. After all this time, I go to Senior Bowl. And I've had guys say to me, like, what are you doing? You got all this other stuff going on. I said, what do you mean, what am I doing?
Those are your friends. You want to go see them.
That's exactly right. They're my social structure for the last 25 years. And that's it. Like, they've seen all the stuff. We've seen a lot of stuff with each other. You're each other's social structure. And the NFL is a phenomenal family. It really is. Despite all the other stuff that's going on, what I love about a locker room, and I wish the rest of America would take on a locker room. And that's what we try and do with, like, our gym. And I've always been around fight gyms and fight locker rooms. There is no racism in a locker room. Like, there's racists in there, but not in a locker room. That's the only place, a locker room, where you'll have big, fat, white, racist linemen being the best man at a young black guy's wedding. Right? It's like there's only one color that matters there. That's
correct.
Silver, and that's that trophy.
Yep.
But it's like you could break chops about anything and everything. There's nothing that's off limits in a locker room, and no one gets mad about it. And outside the locker room, everybody gets mad about everything. And that's why, buddy, I try not to grow up, and I try and stay in the NFL.
Now, you talk about those relationships. You were in training camp last summer with the Saints, teaching them various techniques. Do I have that right? What more
I don't
can
know.
You share
what
about
are you talking? Is this your way of describing the fight, kid?
I'm not very down with it, Jay, as you can tell, right?
Oh my gosh! Oh my god!
I live in my own little bubble. You'll have to forgive me there.
Who wants to see a cage match, Schefter? I'm gonna train you. This is what I'm proposing.
I would love to come out and train with him. Yeah.
I train you for 2 months this offseason.
Yep.
And then I pit you in a steel cage with. First, I let you fight Rappaport. Then I let you fight Lock and Four. Then we'll just round them up. We'll have like a round robin. But, dude, I'll turn you into a killer. I promise.
Well, I know you can turn me into a killer. I'm not really interested in fighting anybody, but I would love to train with you sometime.
Come on.
Just to see how I would hold up. So what was it like training with the Saints? What was it like training with the Saints?
Well, so, you know, I fought early on when I was at CBS. And I think the guy at CBS was like, you're doing what? I'm like, mixed martial arts. They're like, oh, martial arts, that's cute. You know, I left out the cage thing. And then I went to Fox, and my first day at Fox, I just competed in a tournament called the World Submission Fighting Championships. And I I'm not exactly elusive, and I came in really kind of busted up and wasn't looking good. And David Hill, the chairman of Fox, is like, what happened to you? I'm like, I just won the World Submission Fighting Championships. And he's like, I don't know what that is, but you'll never freaking do it again. And I'm like, what? I'm clearly not on TV for my looks. And I realized I am on TV for my looks.
Yeah.
No. So, but the sport institutionalizes you. Like, dude, I love the fighter mentality, the fighter mindset. There's stuff that the guys I do with, the Randy Couture's and Chuck Liddell's, there's stuff you can learn from them that any football player, any athlete or anybody, you want to talk about pushing your breaking points and how to impose your will on somebody, that's who you go to.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've trained over, I started this program now where I, you know, again, to help my two loves, which is fighting and football there, is we started a program. The very first guy we ever did was a long snapper, guy drafted as a long snapper. We took 25 pounds off his frame, really opened up his hip, worked on leverage. He got his hands just violent as could be. But more than anything, we made him think he's the baddest SOB on the planet. He may not be. We got him thinking he was. And that long snapper went out and got 15 and a half sacks that year, and his name was Jared Allen.
Wow, wow.
And people don't know that. He started as a long snapper.
Yep.
So after that, people were like, oh, whatever you did for him, Jared talked about it, whatever you did for him, do it for us. I don't know what the hell we did, except we just, he came into my fight school every day, and with a bunch of kind of, I had two fights back then. Some of my teammates had like one or none, and now one of them is Ryan Bader, who's the Bellator light heavyweight champ. CB Dalloway, who's on his 30th fight. A guy named Aaron Simpson, Jamie Varner, and Carlos Condit was in there for a while. Like, really great, a great fight team. And then we did, like, Patrick Willis the next year. And then Clay Matthews, we worked on all his hand fighting stuff. And he went from, you know, 10 sacks his rookie year to 17 the next year. And it blew up. And we did Brian Cushing. And it's just gone on. And then we started doing teams. We did the Falcons twice. The Rams, the one year they didn't go under 500. And
there you go.
This offseason, though, Sean Payton is like, and you got to love, Sean's like, listen, I've been around you and your fighters all the time, and I know how demented you are. We could use some of that. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to take this as a compliment or not, but he's like, no, you know how screwed up you are. I need some of that in my players. I'm like, again, I'm not sure I'm going to take it as a compliment, but I kind of am. But he brought us in. We trained the entire Saints team. We trained Kenny Vaccaro and the whole secondary for 2 weeks in L.A. at our gym, Unbreakable.
And that's why they're playing so well this year, right there.
Well, but then from there, me, Randy Couture, and Jason Borba, who's one of our coaches, who's a veteran, who was the Army Combatives instructor, we went down and we trained the entire team from the start of camp all the way up to the season opener.
Wow.
And more than anything, Adam, here's what we work on, man. I call it the 4-H Club. We work on your hands, your hips, your head, and your heart. More than anything, man, if, like, the way we teach stuff, if I'm going to put my hands on you, I'm going to make it hurt every freaking time.
Yeah.
And I know they like to take the V word, the violence word, out of football, but it's still a violent sport, man. It's about you breaking that guy across from you. So we do a lot of violent hand fighting stuff. We work on a ton of leverage work. Low man always wins. So that's my world of being a wrestler, and the fact that, you know, you and I aren't exactly Manute Bol.
Yep.
You know, so it kind of helps me out that I'm already down there. And we're just teaching, it's a body language thing. Like Randy Couture, who, again, who runs our whole program with me. Randy has won two fights. One of them, he had staph infection going in the fight, couldn't train, was on a pick, 6 weeks couldn't train. Back then, you don't fight, you don't get paid, so you had no choice. And Randy pulls the pick out, pulls the IVs out, goes in, fights. It's for the heavyweight championship of the world, and I think, I don't know if the time was banned on TV or from TV or not, but it's not a lot of money, but he has to fight. And he does what we try and do, which is just, we're a torrential downpour of violence. We don't stop. We don't stop. We don't stop until somebody says, oh, my God, get this guy off me.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't have any athletic ability. but we will just wear you out until you quit. So here's Randy, and he tells our whole, all these guys, like, guys, the room is spinning. I mean, I had an IV in me. I can't, everything is just going dark. He goes, I go to take my stool in between rounds, and I turn around, and I see my opponent, and he said, I'm about to pass out, but I see him plop down in his stool. The moment I see him plop down in his stool, I smile, wink. I never take a stool. I stand up. I start raising my fist in the air. He said, fight was over. That was it.
Wow.
He just broke that guy in his stool. And there's definitely a body language thing. Like, I don't let our fighters take stools in between rounds. You don't get so much rest by taking 1 minute by sitting down.
Yeah.
Okay? It's kind of like more of a habit. And you can condition your brain. Think about this. You've been on the ground, I'm sure. You're so tired. You're exhausted. Your friend or your buddy comes up and they twang you. And all of a sudden, you jump up, run up, and chase after them. And all of a sudden, you forget you're tired, right?
Yep.
So you can control it. So if you look at teams, I look for a dude. If we're training against a guy, I look for a guy with his hands on his hips. I look for a guy who's kind of buckling over.
Yep.
I look for a guy who's showing signs of exhaustion.
Yep.
And at that point, you ramp it up because then they're going to look at you and go, damn, why does Adam Schefter not have his hands on his hips?
Yep.
How come Adam Schefter doesn't look tired? And they start thinking, you're a sick bastard, and it starts breaking them even more.
So you
just turn that, you turn it into a fight. The Howie Longs, he made that game like, dude, that game starts, that field, that cage door shuts, and you're going to beg to get out from me. And yeah. I'm not a great fighter, dude, at all. I'm not.
Yep.
I'm actually a pretty lousy fighter. I just have a very strong pace and will, but I'm learning from the great ones. I learned from Michael Strahan and Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw and Jimmy Johnson, obviously on our show, on how to get the most out of people. Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture, the stuff these guys have done.
Yep.
I mean, Randy went in, he's fighting Brock Lesnar. He has a torn elbow, can't lift. He's 215 pounds, lightest he's ever been. We're like, why? And Brock is, you know, 800 pounds. I'm like, and Randy's heavyweight champ, he's 46 years old. I'm like, why don't you pull out until the elbow's healthy? And he yelled at me.
Wow.
He's like, pull out. What, are you out of your mind? He's like, could you imagine if I could beat him at 50%? Could you imagine if I could beat him at, if I could even slam him at 50%? Don't ask me if I'm going to pull out. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. But that's the difference in a warrior who's like, he doesn't care about the win and the loss or what people are going to think. He just wants to fight the best. And if he's hurt, and he could beat him,
yeah,
it makes him feel like even more of a gangster.
Mental.
So, yeah, that's a lot of stuff we try to teach the Saints, and I think it's worth. And Sean just said, hey, if you could help our defense with anything, get us to move the needle at all. And, yeah, we did. And he put a camera in practice, a body language camera,
yeah,
for us to see who was showing that body language. And, yeah, it's the first team we've done during training camp, so I'm proud.
We'll be back with more in a moment from Jay Glazer. The other thing that you've also done is you've set up a charity MVP for vets and ex-players, and it's Veterans Day on Friday. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that and the genesis of that and where you're at with that, Jay?
Well, the thing that I was going to actually kind of hit you on this, like, don't you feel, I don't know, when we started our business, Adam, I felt kind of guilty, like, man, God has blessed me with this great life, and yep, I'm just like, I'm a sportscaster. Like, yep, I got to do more than this. Have you ever had that?
Well, I remember Shannon Sharp, we talk about players in our past. Shannon Sharp always had a sign in his locker, to whom much is given, much is required. And I think the people who have been given things, blessed with things in life, are required to give back. I know I've tried to do that with various things. I know you've tried to do that with various things.
So I started a foundation called Touchdown Dreams for children who were kind of fighting for their lives, kind of trying to make a wish on steroids. And I never told anybody. I just did it my own, did it myself, and there was one kid, Logan Nebriga, who is my little guy. I love him.
Yep.
And he has beaten leukemia twice now. Now Logan just turned 13. And he had it, and then it came back, and he almost became the welcoming committee at UCLA Children's Hospital for other children who are doing it. Well, his grandma is this woman who helps out these veterans in a place called Boulder Crest and Washington, D.C., and they take guys there, and they're trying to give them a team again. And I'm like, you know what? I talked to them about it, and I said, what if we team up ex-football players who are struggling with the transition and some of your vets who are struggling with transition and we give them a team where it's not just vets, it's football too, because they both go through the same thing. And we sent down a guy named Oren O'Neill, who used to play for the Raiders, and man, it just, it worked. So Nate Boyer, who, you know, is a Green Beret, and that's a great, Nate Boyer comes into my gym 3 years ago, whatever, says, "I understand you're the guy I want to see if I want to play in the NFL. I said, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm a senior at Texas, sir. I'm a long snapper." I'm like, "You got gray in your beard. How are you a senior at Texas?" He goes, "Well, I, you know, I was a Green Beret for 10 years, and then I finished up, and I went to Texas, but I was really good at my other job, so Admiral McCraven set up a deal where I can play football at Texas, but then right after the season, I go back to the Middle East, and I, you know, I fight for our country," and, like, he had, like, an 11-man team, and I'm like, "Are you, hold on a sec. Who are you?" So I look it up, and I'm like, "Oh, my God.
He's telling the truth, yeah.
See what you've done." I said, "I see what you've done, but I don't know what you can't do. So, brother, let's go walk this walk together. Let's try."
Wow.
And luckily, you know, you and I both have relationships, and people think that you and I just report. We do, but we don't. We've gotten to a point where, I think, with the like I was talking about Will McDonough, where they come to you. A lot of people come to Adam about advice, coaches, GMs, agents about doing things. And they have with me over the years just trying to put together certain relationships.
Yep.
So the time I convinced the Seahawks, "You need to bring this guy in your locker room. He'll help." And Pete Carroll goes, "Jay, what are you making me do?" I said, "Pete, this is going to help you. It's the last guy on your roster. Like, look at the stuff this guy's been through. But talk about pushing your breaking point." He says, "No, I don't have a problem with that. What if I have to cut him?"
Yeah.
I said, "Then you cut him." And he goes, "I'm not having the guy shoot me from a mile out." I said, "Pete, not my problem, click." But when they cut him, when they cut Nate, Nate was going to go back overseas. And I'm like, no, dude. I love you like my brother. So I actually moved him into my casita.
Wow.
I made him like my Cato Kalen.
Wow.
And and I'm like, let's start something. I've been talking to this, you know, place Boulder Crest about starting this thing, MVP. And Nate's like, "I'm all in." And our results have been incredible. So what we've done is we've basically, like I said, we've taken ex-NFL players and now ex-athletes of everything, and ex-combat vets, and we're merging them together, and we're giving them a team again, and we're trying to get them both to understand. And for, I'm glad I'm doing this for the right now, Adam, because I know how much you care about a lot of these relationships you've had.
Yep.
There's not enough being done for our ex-players, and I'm telling you guys, we're here for you. Like, I wanted to do this, and look, football players look up to combat vets. Combat vets look up to football players.
Right.
So what we do is we basically train these guys for about a half hour at a gym together, or do something that you'd have a bonding experience. And then after, we have what we call a fireside chat. We sit there and we talk about everything, about why you should use your experience as a positive in the transition. You're not alone. We talk about suicide. We talk about mental health. We talk about, you know, drug addiction, which you see we've, you know, Ryan Leaf has been a big part with us now. And, you know, as Ryan said, "I didn't know how much I needed this until I came in."
Wow.
And what he's been able to do has been amazing. But I'm trying to get our players to look at it, not when they leave, go, "Oh, man, I used to play in the NFL."
Yep.
No, dude, you played in the NFL. Like, right. You playing in the league is not who you are. But what is behind your rib cage to beat out a million people to play in the league, that is who you are.
Yeah.
And use that in your next step. And same with our vets. They come. It's everything you ever want in somebody leading your business, your country. It's, you have grace under fire, courage under pressure, and these guys are – you're obviously, they're incredibly loyal and on time. And if there's an issue in the middle of combat, they think faster than the rest of us. And then they come back home, and it's like, "Oh, I'm different."
Right.
And I'm trying to get them to understand, no, like I said to you earlier, you're different. And that's a damn good thing.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to be different. So let's use that in our next step of life. So now that we're giving them a team again, like, people don't know this, but we've had such success with a lot of these guys. Now they have like-minded individuals to talk to. We started deploying some of them. So, like, when Houston, the hurricane hit, we sent down, I think, 20 of our vets and a player to help out. And because of who they are, they were able to use boats and jet skis and get into places that they weren't. And I think that's kind of our next step is to, as we coach these guys – so it's not a pity party. They don't feel bad about themselves. We're going to start hopefully giving them missions. I know we helped out We brought a lot of first responders in Las Vegas, but we're just trying to give these guys a team again. I'm really passionate and proud because I think, Adam, I think it's an easy fix, dude. I really do. I think it's, you know, don't be, for those who play in the NFL and are upset by whatever's happened, don't be. Like, but I have had a billion concussions. Like I said, I suck as a fighter. I've been knocked out a billion times. Right. I've had so many surgeries, and I am freaking proud of every one of them. Yeah. Everything that's wrong with me, when I walk into a room and something hurts,
part of me.
It reminds me I'm not like everybody else. Yeah. And I'm trying to get them to understand the same thing.
Keep up the great work, brother. I would talk to you longer. I have to go run off to go do Outside the Lines right now. Otherwise, we would talk for an hour more.
Hold on. What are you breaking right now? No. See,
I just broke the Colin Kaepernick signed. He just signed. You missed it.
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to butter me up and suck me here. Wait, real quick before you go.
Yes.
Tell me the scoop you're proudest of that you got me on.
I don't view it like that. I really don't.
No, okay. Tell me the scoop you're proudest of.
I don't have the next one. The next one I get you on will be make me proud.
Screw you, Chef. You're talking like you're Doug Marone.
Well,
that would have been something. You're like, today was this was awesome. Come on, you got to give me one.
Hey,
but it makes me a bad interviewer.
No. Then I'm going to let you be a bad interviewer. I'm not going to give you one because, in all honesty, every day is a battle, as you know, and you just try to do the best job you can. I'm going to be bland, but I'm being truthful and honest. Like,
no,
every day.
You have some major bombshells. Like, I know for me, mine's Spygate. I'm good.
Yep.
Right?
Well, that was a great one. That was a great one.
But you've had a lot, so give me the ones that you're like, people have no idea how hard I had to work on this one. And maybe we don't even realize it was. I'm not letting you get off. That's it.
I don't have one like that. I'm proud to be in the same ring with you in the same cage match.
I'm gonna beat you silly if you don't give me one.
I don't. You know what? I don't got one. I don't have one. I don't have one. I do not have one.
You're just gonna have to take your ass whooping like a man, Shepherd.
That's the way it goes. Hey, listen, we're gonna do this again. I appreciate you taking the time to do this today, Jay. Thank you it was an honor. It's a pleasure. You're my friend. I respect you. I appreciate you. And I thank you for taking the time today.
I appreciate you, bro. Hey, and seriously, for people out there, Adam allowed me to come on and do this so I can promote our MVP charity for the veterans out there, to our veterans. Make sure you thank Adam also. And yeah, we're going down to Fox NFL Sunday this week to Norfolk, Virginia, from a naval base down there, which we do a lot with the military. But from all our vets, I appreciate you letting me come on and do this.
Hey, Jay, it was my pleasure. And we will do it again.
Absolutely.
Thanks, my friend.
See you, pal.